Testing. Testing. Ah, there it goes. Testing. Can you say your name, Miss Taylor?
Oh, it's Annamie Teal.
That's good. That's a good level. Okay, this is Peggy Bulger speaking with Annie Taylor of Jasper, Florida, and the date is June 6, 1979. Answering and not talking or anything like that. Basically, what we're doing, as I said, we've talked to all kinds of people, basket makers. And do you know Queenie Udell makes these quilts with little tiny yo-yos?
I haven't seen them, but I heard them talk about them.
We've talked to her, and we're just interviewing a bunch of people. So anyway, I'm going to try to get some of your family history first, and then we'll talk to you about some specific things how you're doing, you know, midwifery. He's real good. Yeah. Why?
He's good on his head. Put him down, he'd have a fit.
State your full name and your address, just for the tape.
Well, my name is Annamie Taylor. Route 3, Box 29, Jasper, Florida.
Good. And how long have you lived in Jasper?
About 40-some years.
When and where were you born?
Well, I was born in Browndale, Texas.
What year was
raised
that?
Raised in Alabama and, you know.
Oh, so you came
in Georgia and Florida.
What year were you born?
July the 29th, 1919.
Uh-huh. Well, what were your parents' names, and were they from Texas?
No, well, we lived there, but, you know, they was born in Alabama. Just moved to Texas, you know.
Okay.
I'm the only one of the children was born there.
Did you come from a big family?
I have three brothers and one sister.
And where were you in all that? Were you the oldest or the youngest?
No, I'm the baby girl.
You were the baby girl.
And my brother, he's the preacher, Reverend Jackson. He's the baby boy. And my oldest brother, was twins. My sister and him was twins.
Oh, really?
So he passed. I don't know. Well, it's been a good many years ago. I can't just place the year.
Right.
God, I'd go back and look. But anyway, he passed, but then it left just two boys and us two girls.
Well, were you born with a midwife at home?
No, I was born with doctors, my mother said.
Oh, really? And in the office or in the hospital or?
I mean, it's home. You know, they used to do home deliveries, you know.
Oh, that's true. Doctors
used to. But mine was born at home.
Right. Well, how old were you when you first saw a birth? Did you see a birth when you were very young or?
The first birth that I just had seen was when I first started delivering babies. I mean, when I went to take my training.
Really? Mm-hmm. Wow. So, well, how did you ever decide that was what you wanted to do?
Well, when I was having my babies, I was having them so fast and had so many and was teasing them all the time. I said, well, if I ever get through having babies, I'm going to help somebody else. And I thought I was just joking, though, because I was even scared to mess with the coed, you know.
Yeah.
But after I moved out here, I was talking to the nurse to the health department, and she come one day and she said, Annamie said, do you really want to be a midwife? I told her, yes, ma'am. She said, well, you can be one if you want to be one. So the state nurse from Jacksonville, she came, and I was living in another house then, but she came and she went and see about me going to Valdosta. I took my training in Valdosta, the Little Griffins Hospital.
Mm-hmm. And they have a midwife course there?
No, I just work with the doctors.
Oh, I see. Mm-hmm. You have to be sponsored with, by a doctor, say?
Well, I reckon so, because you show, you know, when taking training. Now, I don't have no one now but myself.
Right. Well, how long did you have to train?
Well, there were so many births that you had to be with them with. I was 6 weeks.
Uh-huh.
But I stayed longer than, really, than it was the births, because I lacked it, and they wanted me to stay right on, but I, you know. Yeah.
Well, this was after you had all your babies?
Yes, ma'am. My babies was, my baby was about 2 or 3 years old.
Oh, my goodness. So you had already gone through 9?
Yes, ma'am.
Births. So
nine
you were pretty
births.
Familiar with what the other end of it felt like.
And only one was born in the hospital.
Really? Did you have a midwife at home?
Yes, ma'am. I had a midwife with all of them, but 2, I believe.
Who was that? Who was that midwife? Do you know?
She dead now. She passed is? Long. That same midwife. Well, one midwife delivered one for me down here in the Winfield, between here and Lake City. And her name was Mamie Sullivan from Lake City. But anyway, she delivered one for me. And then Maisie Tumbler, she passed. She delivered all the rest of them, all but one Dr. Bruce delivered, and the other one, the last one, was born in the hospital, so they said they had to stop me, so that's how I got to be in the hospital.
What, did you ever have any real problems with your birth?
No, ma'am.
No? You just...
Oh, I'd be weak doing times. I'd have on some fast. The doctor said I didn't have time to get my strength back from one before I'd be with another one. But now when the time come, they better hurry. I said, y'all better go get somebody. Well, when they... come back sometime, it'd be already there.
Really? It's different with Bonnie. Mm-hmm. she was in labor for a while.
Well, I don't
even the first one, you were real quick, huh?
Well, not too quick with the first one.
Mm-hmm.
And well, overnight.
Uh-huh.
About 9, beginning about 9 o'clock that night, and going about 12 next day.
That's pretty quick.
Well, that wasn't too bad, was it?
No. Well, when you first started delivering babies, do you remember your first delivery?
Oh, yes, ma'am. I got the record of the first, you know, I got my first record. My brother's baby was the first one I delivered.
Oh, really? What year was that?
I had to go back to the record book. But anyway, she's grown and married.
She is?
I got to be a midwife in 1953.
Uh-huh.
That's when she was born. She was my first
delivery. Mm-hmm. And this was with a doctor?
No,
was all by yourself?
When I left the hospital, I was out on my own.
Were you ever scared?
No, ma'am.
No?
When the first baby I delivered was the girl's first one, you know, and I wasn't used to seeing all that blood, you know. And when they pulled out, I got just as sick. Uh-huh. And I stepped out in the hall with my mask on, you know, and they never did miss me, because when I stepped out, looked like some air hit me, and it left, and I went back, and it ain't never bothered me no more. Mm-hmm.
This was when you were first learning, when you were in training?
Oh, yes, ma'am. That was the first baby I was with them with.
Mm-hmm.
It had to be one's first one, you know. So they had to, you know.
Yeah. Well, now, when you started delivering babies on your own, I imagine that you have certain, for home delivery, what kind of preparations does a mother have to go through if she's going to deliver at home?
Well, she just have her baby clothes. You know, just her needs, what she have to have, gowns and things for the baby. And I have the rest. I have my pans. I have 3 pans. My scissors and my towels and my little sheets. I have my OB pack, you know, that's my little sterilized pack.
Uh-huh. Is that for when the baby comes out and it's all sterilized?
Yeah,
all
them sterilized sheets, yeah. When that's I do use one over her, you know, doing delivery.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a small sheet that just go across. Where about like those in the hospital that they have?
Right. Well, now, say if there was going to be a baby delivered here, you know, I've never been at a home delivery, what would you do if the mother would be in labor and you'd come in, and would you then have to strip the bed and put sterilized sheets
on
it.
Oh, yeah, I have. Well, generally, sometimes they come to my house and deliver. And I have had one in one room and one in another one.
Oh, two at once?
Oh, see, and I have special sheets for that, you know. And when they got called me first and tell me they on the way. But I have everything set up when they get there.
Uh-huh. Well, then, tell me what you would do then while the woman's in labor. Is there anything that you need to do, or you just, what do you check? Or?
Well, I check, so, you know, and see about how she dilating and like that, and see if everything going right, because sometimes they start hemorrhaging. If it's not a normal birth, they'll start hemorrhaging, and you have to watch for that. You know, and that placenta will be separating, mm-hmm. and you'll take all the bleeding. And then I rush. I always call the doctor and let him know I'm on the way. So Dr. Bremen is my doctor that I have with my patients, and he's very nice. And I always call him and let him know I'm on the way, and they have somebody waiting when I get there.
Right, that's if it's not a normal.
Not a normal, you know.
Right.
Anything seems to be going. Or if they be in labor too long, you know. You can be in labor and don't seem to be progressing, you know.
Right.
Well, I'll take them and let the doctor check them. And then if he said they're okay, then I'll come back and sit and wait till they get ready.
What's the longest labor you had to go through?
Oh, boy. I have been with them for days. It's just little pains, you know.
Oh, yeah.
I have stayed also long. My husband had to come see me. Long when I first started, I didn't have a car. So they would come for me. I'd go all over Hamilton County and different places, you know. And they wouldn't have a car, so they'd pay somebody to come pick me up. And I'd hate for them to have to do the same thing twice. So I just stay, you know, thinking it'll pick up after a while. Sometimes be a day or two.
Mm-hmm. That's all. Well, what's normal for a first birth? What would you say is a normal length for a woman to be in labor?
Well, with the first, you know, the first stage of labor lasts from 16 to 18 hours. And, well, you know, that second stage, you're almost on the go through. So, it lasts about 18 hours.
Hmm.
And if they don't start doing something in 18 hours, I do something.
What can you do?
I take off with them.
Really?
And let the doctor, you know, check them out. I can tell pretty near, you know, they don't allow us to. The fact they don't check for nothing.
Right.
You check for the rectum. At least that's the way my doctors learned me. I don't know what the rest of them do. But
right.
Anyway, we have gloves. At least I do. I have gloves and masks. We don't have to use them, they say, you know. But I keep some. For some time, you might need them. So you can check them from the rectum, and you can tell just how close they are.
Mm-hmm. Well, is there anything that you can do if someone's having a real difficult time in labor to cut the pain or anything?
No. They don't allow us to give them anything. Mm-hmm. That's why they take this prenatal care. These 9 months, they're supposed to take that prenatal care no later than in the third month anyway. And if they're in good condition, then I can deliver them. But if they're not, then the doctor won't give them that permission slip. That's why we have to have a permission slip.
I see. So, in other words, anyone who comes to you to have a baby has to have a doctor's permission to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And you probably also have to have a certificate saying that you're a qualified midwife.
Oh, yeah, I have license. We get a new license every year. We take a physical to the health department every year for the new license. We take that in most time we take it in November, about the last of November. So our license will expire December the 1st. That's in order we have our new license back for January.
Well, does anyone ever really want something for pain after they
Oh, they'll ask you for a lot. Some ask you for pains. And some of them just say, well, I just can't have it.
What do you do when they say that?
Not a thing. When they get where they can't, they ain't long then before they get through. When you hear them say, I can't do it. Now, I delivered one here last Tuesday. And she just said she just couldn't have that baby because her back was hurting. My back hurting, I just can't have it. So I said, well, that's the only way your back gonna stop hurting. You got to have the baby. I talked to them. You know, the most I deliver be girls, young.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm, the young ones. And I'd rather be with them than to be with the ones done had three or four. Because them girls will do just like you tell them the most of. You talk to them, and they'll come down just as nice, and you just tell them, say, now I know you want to get through. Think that you know, and they'll just go on to work. But I don't never have one to start working till they, you know, I mean really, just have to. When they get where they can't help it, that's the time to work. And then they don't be tired, strained out.
Right.
Everything.
Well, now, in other words, when they're going through that first part of labor, you don't want them to do anything like push or anything like that?
No. No. The best thing and the shorten labor is walking. Now, walking shorten labor quicker than anything else.
Why is that?
Because it can have a down position, see. As long as you lay down, I think he sleeps, too.
That could be.
See, we have a midwife guide, and I learned so much about this. And any time that they have any kind of midwife meeting, I try to attend. And I learned lots. But that manual I have, it tells you about anything you want to know about a baby, from the bad to the good. And then it tells us on the high risks and the dangerous parts of, labor, such as if they ain't supposed to bleed not over a teacup full before labor, before the baby comes. And if so, you're supposed to take them to a doctor. But most time, that person is trying to come first. So that's the way that goes.
Well, that's something I wanted to ask, too. Does it usually happen that the water breaks first?
Not all the time. Sometimes it'll break right along with the baby. And sometimes the baby will come and the water will all come along with it. And sometimes the water will break about a day or two ahead of time. And some of them have broke a week ahead of time.
Oh, that much. Mm-hmm. And then they just they don't have any contractions until a week later.
No, no contractions. They just
So when someone comes in and they're in the early stages of labor, it would probably be best for them to walk as long as they can. And
When I go to their home, well, I tell them to walk. But I walk with them. When I got them here to my house, I don't know nobody be here but me. I seen everything out, shut the door. And they could get any way they want and walk up and down this hole. And just walk. And it helps them. That's the shortest way.
You must get your exercise, too. Walking up and down with them.
I guess mine, too. I reckon that I'm so fat because I ain't doing nothing with nothing. We're losing weight.
Well,
but you see, when I was having mine, it's different. Okay. Now, they didn't allow me to move. You couldn't move a peg when I was having my baby. You laid flat on that back.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
That must have been really hard.
It was. Mm-hmm.
Because isn't it like if you're lying flat on your back, some people might be more comfortable on their side or, you know.
Oh, they tell you can't. You'll kill him.
Oh, really?
And I believed that, you know. Well, I guess they did, too, because they didn't take the training like we do now. They said he'd just go with another midwife or something like that. But now you have to go and take this training.
Well, that's probably a good thing.
It's really safe for the mother and the child because you can kill both of them. Mm-hmm. Hens was in March, I believe it was. I was with a white lady up here, right behind the bank, Miss Hartz. And she hadn't had no kind of sign at all. And she got up, going to the bathroom, and some come down, and that was it. Oh, we got glad, because she hadn't seen no kind of nothing, you know. So after a while, it just started flowing. Wow. So I told her to lay back down, and then I called the doctor. And I told him that I thought that placenta was trying to come first. So he told me to bring on up and he'd check her, you know. But Dr. Brimmett wasn't there, but Dr. Michael checked her. And so it was so bad, he sewed on the Valosta. So they asked me to go along with her, so I went. And when I got there, I stayed there with her. They got me, you know, being there with her till they got time. He was with some more. They had babies going every which way, right? So I stayed with her until they got ready for her to take her into the living room. So they went on and get her sincere and got the baby. Because it was the placenta had started separating.
What does it separate from the uterus and from
yeah, it just come ahead of the baby.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Is that... That must be really unusual, isn't it? Or is that pretty common?
No, it is. It's that's just a dangerous go on. It don't be regular. Not very often did you find it, but sometime it. Let me see. I run into that about twice, but I had to do something with the first one because she wouldn't go somewhere. Because I guess her husband was sorry. She didn't have no way of getting to the doctor or nothing. So she tell me she wasn't going. So I messed around and I rubbed her. I could feel it and she was just flowing, you know. And I just take and turn and I'd take my hand and I'd push and I would turn. And, you know, after a while that bleeding stopped and then I know that I had moved it.
Oh. That must have been hard, though, to know how to do that.
Well, I rubbed her, and I said, well, I got to do something. Mm-hmm. She admit she wasn't going. She didn't have no way to go. I didn't have no car to care. I'd have just took up and carried on. So I didn't have Dr. Brimmett for my doctor then, because I think he was off learning to be the doctor, you know, long then. But I think that was Dr. Bruce and different ones long in there, but she wouldn't go. And I had to do something. I said, now you can't lay here and die. And I took, and that bed was plumb wet with blood, you know.
Oh my God.
I just took one hand and I'd pull up on this side, and you could feel it right down in there. And I'd take my hand and just push.
You can
and then I'd turn it and push the baby's back. You can feel a little back right round in there, you know. So I'd push that and I'd pull up on that. So finally, I must have got it out of the way. She stopped bleeding.
That's good. That's really because she could.
I said, well, Lord, I know the Lord helped me because I knew I couldn't have done it by myself because I had never found nothing like that.
So she had the baby okay?
I had the baby okay. Done just fine.
Boy.
And the first breech baby I caught, I'm telling you, I didn't know what that was. Because it wasn't his feet.
Oh, how did, what it does that look like?
It was a little private down there, you know.
Oh.
And you know, when it wasn't full like it's supposed to be, it was just flabby, you know. And it looked like an ear.
Oh.
And she was really having pains, you know. And I had never delivered one like that before, you know. So I told her, I said, hold it right there. I said, something wrong here. I said, I just wait right there a minute. She said, I can't. I said, you're going to have to. And she couldn't. I said, well, just go ahead and do something. We'll do something. And so I did always tell you, Mama, don't never try to turn one around because it'll injure the baby, the mother one, you know. So I didn't know what to do. And then I told her, I said, well, we got to do something. So after a while, her mother said she didn't know what it was either because it didn't see nothing but just that. And it looked it like a ear. And I wonder what. I said, well, I wonder what did this woman have. And so after a while, that little bowels moved, and I knowed what it was then. So when it got it so far out, I just eased one leg out. And then I eased that other leg out. And then I held up on it, and I told the mother, now you get something to lay right here so it won't pull down on his little neck. So we did, and she went on and got through. And after then, I done delivered lots of them and things like that.
You did? Yes, breech burrs? They're really difficult, aren't they?
Well, you have to do all the work, but you have to be particular not break the neck.
Oh, does... if
because, when see, when that body come out, that just leaves his neck and that crossbone. And you got to hold up on it.
And sometimes their feet first, and sometimes their that bottom. Book?
Yeah, that'll bottom be pushed out.
Do you ever cut when you're having a birth, a breech birth like that? You cut them?
Uh-uh. No? They don't allow us to do that. That's why we have a doctor. You know, we supposed to have a doctor for our emergency. Yeah. And anything come up, if I don't call the health department, if it's something that I think they can handle that I wants to know, I'll call them. Then they'll tell me what to do.
Have you ever had anybody tear when that comes through?
No, ma'am. I tell you what I do with that now. I takes in you take and get you a pan of good warm water. You get you a kind of thick towel and I do that with all of my young patients, you know. And you just keep it warm laying just between the legs. And every time it starts getting cool, just lay it back. And then keep them greased with Vaseline or something like that. Come on, they'll have no
and
trouble.
And that'll help.
And they like it too. They say, because when the doctor comes, say, I be so-so.
Well, you know, when the baby's head is coming through, you're supposed to be, what, dilated 10? Mm-hmm. And about that big. Have you ever had anybody who didn't quite get big enough and you had to help?
Well, all I seen seemed like, you know, they just that length, you know, for that baby's head. And I have delivered from 10 pounds. That's high as I've been, 10 and some. Now, this girl, she was 14.
14 years old?
She'd already had one, though. But anyway, this baby was 9 pounds and 1 ounce.
That's a big baby.
And I done delivered twins. And, well, I was with a lady with twins this year.
Did you know it was going to be twins?
No, and she didn't either. I don't know how the doctor knows until we told her it was two of them. She said, oh, he had told her it was two, but he was teasing her, you know.
Well,
And I delivered one.
Yeah, tell me about the twins. How did that happen? I mean, how does it differ from a regular birth, or did you just think it was one until...
Well, till it was, that one was born. And, after that one was born, I laid it over there. I looked at her, I said, child, I said, your stomach is mighty big right on. She said, yes, and it's hard, too. I went over there, I said, yeah. I said, might be another baby in there. And she said, I said, don't you tell me that. And I looked and I felt it. I said, oh, yeah, you got another one. And, you know, that one was born at 7, 20 minutes to 7 that morning. And she didn't have another pain. Everything cleared up just like she hadn't had a baby. And I told him, I said, this ain't right. And I said, this here other one's due to come. You know, the little cord was still at no placenta. I thought we was going to get the placenta, you know. Couldn't find it was another baby, so she didn't have no pain. She got up. She said, I feel good. She got up and walked around in the room, just stuck something between the legs so that cord wouldn't be dangling, you know. And She's waited so long, about 12 o'clock, she still hadn't had the baby. No pain. I called Dr. Bremer. And he told me to bring on over there. And so when I brought him, get over there, he got one and I got the other one. They just went on and got it.
Oh, really?
He said it done closed back up. So then they told me, though, I could have delivered that one, say, because it just wasn't ready to go.
So when did she finally have that one?
Oh, she had that in about 2 o'clock.
But did you ever have any more twins?
Oh, yeah. I was delivering one out at Mayor Station. We didn't think that was twins either.
Oh, really?
You hungry, tell your mother. She'll be hungry now. Mm-hmm. And we was going to get the placenta, you know. Got a pan. We always stick there to catch the placenta in, you know. So she didn't even look like nothing was there, you know. And so I told her, I said, well, come on now, let's get this placenta. She wasn't having no pain. And she just bared down, going to send that placenta out, another baby just bloop.
Oh, no.
And he was in his skin, and he just throwed his little hands and busted. And one of them was 5 pounds, and one was 5 pounds and a half. The girls. And now they be girls now. And I delivered twins over here across town. This lady was, false leaving, I think. Or something happened. But anyway, she was hurting, so I was rubbing, and something kind of kicked on this side, you know, and didn't move. I said, oh, child, you got two babies here. She said, woman, don't you tell me that. And she jumped straight up out of the bed. And so when I told her she got to bed, she didn't have another pain. And it was 2 weeks before I went back. But when I went back, she had two boys.
Oh, no. You're right.
Mm-hmm. So when I live with twins out here at West Lake.
But they thought Bonnie was going to have twins for a while. But she
whole
didn't.
Thing end up with one. That's right. See, I tell you, I'm waking up. But I likes the job.
Oh, I'm
Oh, it's much fun to me. You know what I mean? As long as they live, some of them do me so bad, you know. Some of them are catch on to me the first Sunday I went out going to deliver a baby. And I had a little silk uniform, you know, so I put on a little silk uniform. It was on Sunday. And it was right up the street then. So I went that woman tore that little uniform up. And so from then on, I went to put on cotton.
Really?
And some of them did talk all kind of trash to me, but it's fun. Yeah, it's over then.
When they're going through their last stages of labor, they say all kinds of things.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. They don't want you to talk. And they don't want you to do anything.
What was the most difficult delivery you've ever had?
Well, I tell you, I ain't had very many. Most is trying to get them to get ready. So at least I'd be thinking they should, you know. Let me see. I delivered about three stillborn since I've been, you know, a midwife.
That must be sad. Real sad.
Well, it was been so, you know, it had been so long that you couldn't. That's pretty bad. But one, I rode that baby from one place and I'm trying to put breath in that baby because it just looked like it wasn't dead. Because it says she had left her husband. You know, he had a wreck on a tractor. And he had fell. And when the rest of the people got, she done had him up clear the floor. So I think she, you know, killed the baby then.
You strained herself. Mm-hmm. And, yeah.
And it just looked at it like it just wasn't dead. Huh. We brought it to the doctor, me and the ladies to the health department, we worked with it, trying to make breath be in that baby because it just looked it so light and it stayed warm so long, you know.
The other ones, though, did they know that it was going to be stillborn? Or
no. I believe some of them do. They just don't tell you. Because I believe she told me she did. She felt like it was because she hadn't felt it moving. You know, that's the first thing you ask them. When the last time you felt the baby moving? Oh, you felt the last time your bowels moved or something, because sometimes your bowels make you hurt like you're in labor, you know, if you don't keep your bowels moving like they should. Mm-hmm. And I just work. Sometimes, the doctor used to tell us to give them a little castor oil, say if they're in labor, it'll tell a story, and if it ain't, it ain't going to hurt nothing. And I have give it to them. And they bowel move and they go to sleep. I go home and don't have to go back and I don't know when.
Have you ever heard about taking castor oil to bring labor pains on?
Yeah. But they do. I don't know. When I was having my babies, I took a dose of, I took a laxative every week. And castor oil or black draw.
Black draw?
That's right. And each time I had my babies, I thought that's what was fitting to happen. And that would be the baby. I'd be in labor instead. To a day that you got done.
Well, if someone's right about ready to have a baby and they took castor oil, can that bring on labor pains? Or
that's what the doctor told me from the health department. Long, he dead now, Dr. Weeks. He the first one, he the only one ever told me that, though. Excuse me. Told my sister-in-law, she'd been hurrying around and spotting, you know. And he told my brother, said, take across the roughest road you can find. Then he told us that you go take some castor oil. Said, but you get in touch with anime before you do. Said, if it ain't labor, it ain't gonna hurt nothing. She done that, and you know, she quit hurting. And all of the spotting stopped, and it was another month or two before the baby was born.
No. Well, if you're way overdue, like, what's the longest overdue you've had one?
Don't mention the word. Now, I don't think it's an overdue. It's miscount. That's what it is. You know, because I believe when an overdue baby, when that time for that baby to come, if them 9 months up, it's going to tell the story one way or another. It's going to either hurt you or the baby one. And I just feel like the mother be miscounted. See, the doctor go by what you tell her. When your last period, and sometimes you be pregnant before that last period or after the last period. So they just miscounts. Mm-hmm. And some of them be pregnant and going on them months, you know. But some have been pregnant and don't know it till the baby start moving.
Oh, really?
At least that's what they told me. So, and I don't see how in the world they could tote a big baby. five months, because they start moving it 4.5 or 5 months.
They must not count their periods too close.
Well, some of them periods still come. Now, my daughter didn't know with her last one. She just had one in March. That's her and her little family right up there.
Oh, did you deliver her baby?
I delivered all of them. She was so small. And I told her, I said, her child, you just too small for me to mess with you. You to mess with everybody else. I delivered my first grandbaby. My first grandbaby's grown and got babies.
How neat. That must be really, really exciting.
Mm-hmm. You see all those?
Those are all your grandchildren?
That's five of them on just this end. Mm-hmm. And I got some more of them. And I delivered, well, all of my grandchildren, but about four. And I got some I don't know nothing about. My sons, I don't know nothing about. But these were what I know something about. I delivered, and I got about 20 of them. And I delivered all of them, but now you take my daughter over in White Springs. She always had some kind of trouble. They said she had some little tumors or something before. When she's pregnant, they thought she'd lose the baby before, you know, the time. But they messed around with her until they made a hole in him, and she got two. Mm. So I would never bother her, but the rest of them, right. My son wives and my daughters, I delivers all of them.
Is there when they come and they have a certificate that says that, you know, they can have a baby with you, do they have to have a certain, like a big pelvis or a certain size pelvis, like some people?
Well, the doctor checks that, see. Now, yeah. That's why they have to go to this doctor them 9 months. You know them, well, they're supposed to go when they find out they're pregnant. Then he keep check on them. And, well, he checks that, too. Mm-hmm. And then if anything else should occur before, then he wouldn't give them the permission slip. And sometimes that he won't tell them, he'll call me and tell me.
He doesn't want to worry him, probably, mm-hmm. you know.
Thinking. Yeah, he'll tell me.
Well, what's the youngest mother you've ever had?
12.
But a baby herself.
Baby yeah. herself. And, I mean, she's done just fine.
And what's the oldest mother you've had?
40-something. She was 40-something years old, and her baby was 25 years old. Right. And she kept telling him he was an old woman like me having a baby. She's 40-something years old. That's been a good while ago. But anyway, she was 40-some years old. Her baby was 25 years old, and she come up pregnant again.
That must have been a surprise.
It was a surprise. And I think it was worrying her more than skin or more than anything else by her being so old and waited so long. No, it wasn't a thing of it. She liked it to go, I think, and she just didn't want to be bothered with a baby.
After raising one.
Done raised one, and I imagine that, and had a plenty of children herself. And then she done got to be mama again.
Well, did she have any trouble? Is it harder with older women?
Ain't no trouble. They just cut the food more. They cut up more than the girls do. Huh. But now, they said, well, don't let her do this. No, she'll kill them. Now, they stir them down in the hospital, you know. But that don't, the more they kick, the better it is, I think, for them, because it's just like walking. You can't hardly get some of them to walk. And there was one kicking all upside the wall, you know, that I went to. And I mean, she's just hollering. And her sister told her, you stop, you're going to hurt. So she was with her sister, you know, because her mother was there. I said, let alone. I said, she ain't going to hurt a thing in the world. You ain't going to hurt nothing until that baby get in that crossbone, you know. And now, when that head started, now I told her, I'd be with them by myself. Nobody but just me and them. Because some of them parents will bring them and leave them. Hmm. And sometimes if they start to getting a little rough, you know what I do? Take my leg and wrap it around her leg and hold them right there and work with my hands right on.
Because sometimes I guess it's hard at the very end. Do you...
To the real end, some yeah. of them... Oh, they'll... Might kill him, and Lord, I'd die myself.
Is it real common to have the cord around the neck?
Oh, yes, ma'am. There's so many of them. Yeah, about all of them now have. But I checked that out, too.
How do you do that?
Well, that's first thing I look for when the baby's head, you know, sure. I look right. Most time, if it get far enough that it'll pass his ear, I take my finger and feel down inside his neck. And most time that cord be wrapped. And I take my finger and run it down side of his little neck and just keep that cord slack as it, you know, as she have her contracting the baby come out, I just keep slack until it come out. And then I just whirl it from around it right quick.
Well, does that ever, I know I've heard that sometimes can cause a problem if it's wrapped around the neck, they can jerk back up or something.
Oh, if you let them... Jig or something like that, you know, we'll choke them to death.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And some of them be wrapped 2 or 3 times.
Really? Yeah, I've always heard that a baby could strangle or something, you know.
That I keep my finger there if it's wrapped. But that's the first thing I do, run my finger right down side his little neck. And if that cord is round there, I'll get my finger up under the cord. And then I'll kind of pull up on the cord, you know, just kind of lift my finger up a little and slacken it. And as it come, then I just keep my finger going until it get far enough to get one of them loops from around his little head. And then that'll give it some more room. Then I take and lift it up. And then when he come, then I just hurry when that all of this body come out, then I just Mickey's and get that from around to the neck.
Do you ever have the fathers? Are they ever a help, or do they?
Oh, some of them will come in there and hold the hands. And some of them do them good for the husband.
Yeah.
Just to be there.
There's a sense of responsibility, mm-hmm. I guess.
Sure, yeah.
Right. And that probably, and sometimes they might have their parents here or whoever they want. Yeah.
Yeah,
their mom or something.
Yeah, they do.
Must be.
Most of them don't want to be in there looking.
Do you ever have...
Very busy. Call me if you need me. And when you call one, I think it scares them. You know, they think something. And some of them, if you don't watch them, they'll make you nervous. The parents will, you know. Is she doing all right? How should every minute, you know, they want to know. Do you think she's doing all right? Or do you think this? And it's just a kind of, you know, you kind of wish they would kind of go off somewhere.
Do you ever check the baby's heartbeat? Can mm-hmm. you? How do you do that?
I got a
little. Uh-huh. And what happens, though, if you... Does it ever happen when you're checking the heartbeat that it goes way down or something?
Well, I had one. That's why I took the twins to Dr. Bremen. First I heard a heartbeat. Then I couldn't get one. He must have turned around some kind of way. And you couldn't. He must have turned this up. Mm-hmm. Must have turned that bottom up because I couldn't get no honey. I told him, I said, we going away from here? I said, because I don't even hear the heartbeat. He was, though.
Well, let me see.
You looking mighty. And he saw what thought might have been milk. Sometimes they be like that, you know, they be hard. You put camphorated oil on them or camphor, and it'll kill them down.
Yeah.
Okay. Is that the type of? He might have been to be a boy.
Yeah.
They is hard, got a little knot. You feel them? This one don't have as big one as this one. But you take and just rub that camphorated oil around it. And it'll kill them down. It'll get away.
Let me see. I've got so many questions. What does it mean, like, when a... Does it mean anything? I don't know if it does or not. When a woman carries a baby high or low... Or is it just individual?
Well, I think that's just individual. Some of them tote some low all the while. And then some of them carries them up. And doing before time, you know, you can kind of tell those who's up. When closer time, you see it kind of sink in right here. He kind of drops. Mm-hmm. And when that real... When, you know, that real time come, I'll see the days or the weeks or whatever, it'd be clean empty. I can lay my hands right in there. You can almost, you know they're ready then.
They're ready.